When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to The New Guys. I'm your co-host, Gabe S. Dunn, and with me today is my co-host, River Butcher. Hello, River.
What's up? As usual, I am also here.
Yep.
How's it going, Gabe? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm trying to get organized about a lot of stuff, but I don't know.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all those ways?
All those ways. Also, like, work-wise, also just figure out, I don't know, what to focus on and what I actually like doing, which is an ongoing saga. But first, let's get this business out of the way. That's right. We have business.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Gabe. I wanted to mention at the top of the show, as opposed to the end of the show, that I have stand-up shows, specifically some in Vermont, basically tomorrow. I've got two shows August 30th and two shows August 31st at the Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont. So if you are in Burlington, Vermont and listening to this show, probably means you're queer. You should come see my stand-up. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fun time. Please come to those shows. And then also, if you're listening and you're in Charleston, South Carolina, or anywhere surrounding that area, I'm going to be doing specifically a Pride show September 19th at the Music Farm in Charleston, South Carolina. So come to those shows if you want to support local live stand-up and specifically me and queer stand-up. And you can get those tickets all on my website, which is riverbutcher.com/shows.
Sometimes I feel like people are like, I don't want to go to this by myself. I'm scared. But
great question.
Yeah. But so what would you say to that?
I would say I totally understand. However, I've had the experience of doing those things myself and learning a lot about myself, mostly that things are fun to do with yourself. And B, I've had a lot of people at my shows come to those shows by themselves and have a really great time and be like surrounded by other queer folks, or at least like, you know, just like the big tent of our community, if you will. And I just, you know, I can't speak for my openers because I don't know them yet. But I don't cultivate shows that are like, I don't know. It's just like, it's not a harmful place, you know, unless you disagree with me on certain things and that's on you. But it's not a harmful place. Like, I'm always trying to have a good time and have fun, you know?
Yeah, it's not a mean stand-up situation.
No. Even if I do crowd work, it's very conversational. It's not like, I'm not going to like throw somebody under the bus. Yeah. There's no bus at my show, so.
There's no bus.
I say, come on out. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I just turned 42. I just had a birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. And that, I mean, it's been a practice of like going and doing things with myself, like going and eating, you know, like throughout my life, specifically in my 30s or whatever. And I used to be like deathly afraid of being alone or perceived as whatever. And slowly over, you know, the last 20 years have been doing those kinds of things, but really spending quality time with oneself, I think, is incredibly important, and I don't like it, but It's incredibly important. I want to act like I'm some, like, I don't know, like I've transcended, like, oh, I'm so into it. But that's exactly what is being offered to me in this moment in my life, is spending quality time with myself and realizing that, like, oh, I don't have to be productive in some way that I thought I needed to be. Mm-hmm. So going and spending time with other people without knowing them is kind of like a really powerful experience I've found in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's sort of how you meet people, too. I think sometimes if you go to an event with someone, you'll only talk to them versus like if you go to this queer event by yourself, you're going to get absorbed into a group or you start talking to people or, you know, like or queer people.
Even if you don't at that one, you know, even if you go to that event and you don't.
Yeah.
You're building like a muscle and you're building an ability in yourself to go somewhere and be open to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then when it's ready, it will happen. So like if you go and you just go and you have a good time. And the thing about comedy shows is that they are about vulnerability, mm-hmm. you know, the vulnerability of the comedian and also everybody in that room willing to sit there and laugh. Like, you know, when you're laughing, you're in a very vulnerable state. And that's why there's so much like tension and release and all that stuff. And so to me, if you go to a stand-up show, I mean, there's nothing more powerful, I think, than sitting with yourself in a group of people that you don't know and like having a good time.
Yeah.
Because you're not requiring anyone else to supply that good time for you, really. I mean, I understand the comedian's there, blah, 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 but you're showing up for that with yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not like requiring another person that you have to keep looking at to like, you know,
oh,
like, is this funny to you? You know, like all that stuff mm-hmm. of just like, so it's like building a muscle for that community to find you. So I just want to say that about like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Like it doesn't mean you go to this event, you're going to find this whole thing of people. It's like, sometimes it's a slow build, you know, but the ability to go to those things and stay for an hour, half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever, then go home is like a really powerful experience.
Oh, the best thing about going to stuff alone is you can just leave whenever.
That's right.
Incredible.
It's a great feeling.
Well, when we come back, listener mail.
Holly is a trans-licensed massage therapist based in Brooklyn, New York.
Their practice, True Bearing Bodywork, helps folks feel more at ease through discomfort or change.
This includes trans folks, prenatal clients, and folks with chronic pain.
They specialize in post-gender affirming surgery recovery with a focus on scar massage and lymphatic drainage.
They can work on your binding pain, your six-week-old top surgery scars, or just general relaxation from a massage therapist who is trans and affirming.
Feel more at home in your body so you can move, rest, and grow as your truest self.
You can book at truebearingbodywork.com or learn more on Instagram at truebearingbodywork.
Thank you. Bye. Welcome back to Listener Mail. We have a lot of mail from you guys. Some of it has a theme, though. So let's get into the ones that have this theme of dating, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a message from Sunny, and then there's a follow-up like DM that we got that was on a similar theme. I don't want to do this one, but we'll do it. How do you feel, sexy or hot? Hey, Gabe and River.
Why do you not want to do this one?
Because I don't know that I have the answer, but I do want to.
We never do. We never have the answer. We just have our answers.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I relate to this email. Let's say that. Okay.
It resonates.
Hey, Gabe and River. I'm relearning everything right now. Have been out to myself since October, 27 years old, and immediately felt more free. But now the chest and bottom dysphoria are creeping in. Consider myself gender fluid, but mostly trans mask NB leaning. I'm so used to the playing the feminine game of feeling hot wearing less clothes, but lately I've been dressing more mask with baggier style, which has felt so good. But also I can't help but feeling like a little boy. I don't know. I'm in the early mid stages of knowing I want top surgery and possibly HRT, but for now, also looking for tips on what makes you feel like you can balance the mask and femme style without feeling like you're accentuating body parts that are stereotypically femme, chest, etc. For me right now, I think the goal is low-key like Troye Sivan, LOL, or other twink femme looking guys. But I'm struggling because every time I wear less clothes to feel hot, I end up feeling like I look more lesbian slash cis. Maybe it's the dysphoria and I'm in my head, but looking for tips or if others have experienced this. I think I put so much pressure on myself to be perceived a certain way that it's getting exhausting. Additional note, I know feeling sexy or hot can mean so much more than appearance-wise, but I'm really struggling with that here. Also, any advice for a Portland, Oregon homie looking for trans mask friends? I feel like there's so many queers here that they often don't want to break out of their already made circles. Thanks for listening to my ramble. Y'all are the best and have honestly been some of my biggest trans guy exposure, which has been so wonderful. I know parasocial relationships are weird, blah, 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 but it's been so cool to get to know you on the pod, River, and to real time hear about your transition, Gabe, since I've been following JBU since relative early days. All the best from Short King Lil Heart, Sunny, they, them. P.S. I'm heading to Burlington for the first time next week. I might try and see your show, River.
Yeah, come to the show. Come to the show, Sunny.
Yes. Wow, you really got inside my head. You said all the things that I think and worry about. And then this is also a common question, it looks like. Because
Issue.
Here is a DM that we got that was similar to this. Could someone talk about the impact of transition on libido and sex life? I'd be interested to hear both of your experiences and navigating any changes to your sex life with transition. It might sound potentially shallow, but this is one of my biggest hesitances about transitioning, as sex is a really important part of my life. So I'd be interested to hear any tips or maybe different listeners' experiences with navigating this. So they're sort of tangentially related in my mind because
yeah, a little bit.
I also have this fear. I also was like very good at being a woman and dressing a certain way and getting with certain people that I wanted to get with. And that has completely changed. And I hear that from other people that I know that are like a friend of mine that's more trans femme who is worried about doing more to look more feminine because they're worried that the type of women that they date now as like a straight, you know, guy, quote unquote, would not be interested anymore. So it's like, I get that. And that's something that them and I have talked about a lot because it is something that, yes, I feel okay, it's shallow, whatever, but that is like a deep concern for me. I just now, so I dressed a certain way to quote unquote pass
as a quote unquote woman, just for clarity.
No.
Right? Oh, you mean okay. This is why I'm following up. Yes, I'm like pass as what?
Totally. So, as you'll recall, when I was a woman, I was super flamboyantly dressed, totally. Makeup, yes. Hair,
yes,
drag. And then when I got top surgery and started HRT, I went very bland. Plain shirts, jeans, like black sneakers, like very, very bland. Hair color, natural, no earrings, nothing. Uh-huh. And recently, the last like 2 weeks, I've been dressing a little bit more flamboyantly. And two different people have noticed and commented on it and said that they were really happy for me. And that they really were like happy to see this back and that it looked really cool and that they really love that I'm like doing more like experimental style. Like I got this, I went to a clothing swap and I was like joking and tried on this woman's like mesh bodysuit thing.
Quote unquote joking.
Yeah. But then I was like, oh, this doesn't feel dysphoric for me because my chest is flat.
Yeah.
So like I was wearing it and I was like, oh, it kind of. And so then I wore it out a couple times and then I wore an earring to go see St. Vincent, like a long earring. And my like both instances, different people were like, I love this. Like, this looks great. And one of my friends, straight guy, he was like, I think you actually pass more like this because now you look like, quote, a gay guy who's getting funky with it.
Hell yeah, dude.
So I'm back to sort of doing that and it might, maybe it'll cause, it hasn't thus far caused any like misgendering. If anything, I think I was being overly cautious. And so I just think you're at a place that I have been at, that I was at. it took a long time for me to feel comfortable. So I'm not saying like to rush yourself, but I don't know. I've just been exactly where you are. And I sometimes am still exactly where you are. And I'm so different. I'm not hooking up with people. I'm not like dating. I'm like, I don't know what I look like. So like my sex life has paused because I have no concept of who would be interested in me. Whereas when I was a woman, I could reasonably get whoever I wanted, not to brag, but
sure. Well, I guess I just am wondering, because I'm noticing about sort of both of what you two are saying. It's about other people. Like, what do you want?
Well, I also, you know, I also would love to look like Troye Sivan.
Well, no. Who do you, what are you looking for in others? You know, because what this person said is, I think I put so much pressure on myself to be perceived a certain way that it's getting exhausting. And I think that is like the, if there is an issue or a problem here, it's that it's like, and this is my experience too, without the specifics are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the specifics are not the same. Although I will say the whole like, that sort of fabric mesh tank top has just been around in my life lately. And it's not my vibe, but I'm appreciating it in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not what I like, but I appreciate it in others, mm-hmm. you know? So like, it's less, I think I've just been able to find some freedom from, I have to do this so that other people will this,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, because if I'm always trying to, if I'm trying to find my expression so that other people will find me attractive, like it's not gonna go the way that I hope. You know
no.
what I'm saying? It's like I think that's the essence of this, is that your self-expression is your self-expression. And once you start putting out into the world who you are, then the people who are attracted to that will just naturally be attracted to that. And it won't, because if I'm like searching for the thing that's going to get me the people I think I'm supposed to be with based on what they think of me, like, ouch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Here's what's unfortunate is that for me, and I am learning that, yeah, I was like a pretty girl, but what was attractive about me was a boundless confidence and like approachability, and just like
there you go.
What was hot about me was always, I think that I was just like totally, as there's this quote that Tina Fey had that I always say, which is like, confidence beyond my looks and abilities, which like I think is, I just like had that. And so that attitude was attractive to people. And I knew that people had said that to me.
And that's what I'm saying.
But basically, then what's a mind fuck is that I'm at a place where I don't have that attitude yet as a person who looks like this. And so that is, I think, impacting my ability to feel hot and like approach people more so than what I actually look like. Like, truly, I went to like a trans beach day. I was talking to this guy and I was like, oh, when did you start tea? He told me. And I was like, wow, I would never guess it was that recent. And then he was like, when did you start? And I was like, oh, and I said, and then he was like, oh gosh, I would never think it was that recent. And I was like, what? Like, I have no concept of what I look like. So, and you also, I will say to Sunny, you have no concept of what other people are perceiving you as or what they would be interested in. Like, it is. I have been where you are. It's a total mind fuck. And it's also flirting with a different type of person. Like, you're not, River, like, you're not getting with lesbians. You know what I mean? It's a totally different type of person.
How do you know?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. It's a totally different type of person than you were attempting to pursue before. Same for me.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. What I'm learning to do is to pursue myself and flirt with myself.
Yeah.
Because that is to me the only antidote to gender dysphoria, because what I realized after doing, you know, HRT I also celebrated 4 years on T recently, a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. And why is my first thought, fuck you and your beard?
Well, I mean,
wow, good for you.
Well, I don't know. I just took stuff and it happened. Look, you can look at pictures literally a year ago and I did not have one.
I know.
It just happened. You know what I mean?
I know.
It was not there for a while. 4 years on T, and then it's been, you know, it'll be 4 years since I had top surgery. Mm-hmm. And I remember having these goals of like, well, when this happens, then I'll feel this way. And when this happens, then I'll feel this way.
Yeah.
And it's not untrue, but it's just not the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't keep doing the, I can never remember if it's Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin, that it's like kicking their hat every time they're trying to pick it up.
Yeah.
And so I just have to stop chasing, like, chasing this idea and begin to have my own ideals, you know, and spend quality time with myself and do, and try things and do things and, because that's the only antidote to gender dysphoria. Because, like, I literally the other day I was walking and saw my shadow and I was like, Jesus, my hips are so huge. And, like, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
But it's so deeply ingrained in my mind to look for the problem in my body, you know, to look for the problem, to see how somebody's going to perceive me as this and I don't want to be, you know, and I just have to, like, lovingly treat myself with, I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it's true. And like you were saying, like, I do not know. I can take a full body scan. I can, like, watch videos of myself. I can do all kinds of things. And I still don't know how I'm going to be perceived in every situation.
Yeah.
Because I cannot set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And so the opposite of that is like, oh, I'm free to do what feels good and wholesome for me. You know, and then the people that you're looking for, because, like, you also say, you know, you're looking for friends. And the thing that I'm noticing that I relate to so deeply in this is that it's about everybody else.
Yeah.
And, like, it starts with me, you know, and, like, I too, I want to be friends. I'm always wanting to be friends with the friend group, you know, and then I get in there and I'm like, these people are driving me crazy. <You know? laughs> Because it's like, it's not necessarily a right fit.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't want to go out of their friend group, then it's not a right fit.
Yeah.
You know? And so, unfortunately, as somebody who's been 27 and still has a 27-year-old in them, I relate so deeply.
Me too.
And the thing I can say this side of, what is that, 15 years away? Is that, like, the more you become your own friend and your own friend group, the more the people that are meant to be in your world show up.
Yeah.
And you actually don't have to work as hard at it.
Yeah.
But the more you spend time with yourself and what you enjoy, how the things you want to wear, the way you wish to look and be in the world, you know, when it's more about being in the world as opposed to looking in the world, not that there's anything wrong with caring about how you look. I don't think there is. But I can't hang all of it on that, you know, because there's just always going to be something that's going to, like, knock that out of balance. And so if I'm rooted in how I am in the world as opposed to how I look.
That was really beautiful.
You know, whether that's gender or or, like, credit for doing the right thing or thinking this of me or whatever, you know, it's all the same stuff. Right. So it's like just being, you know, and, like, that's awesome, Gabe, that you're, like, not pursuing dating right now, you know, that you're, like, being with you.
You know what's interesting about that? When I was a woman, I was like, who cares? Like, I didn't really, not that I didn't have standards, but I was like, whatever. And now I'm more put off by stuff. And I don't know if that's age or transition, but I'm more, like, if someone messages me and they're a little bit, like, they say something off, I'm more likely to be like, no. Like, I cut stuff off way quicker.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, leading me to not settling or finding someone and being like, okay, they're good enough. Like, which is good.
Sure.
So this is a dating question follow up to question for Gabe. And this is dovetails with what we're talking about. So I'll just do a little bit. Question for Gabe. How do you think your experience with or boundaries in poly have changed at all as you've come into your gender identity? I'm new to both at once and my current steady partner is amazing. Totally gets my sometimes a guy, sometimes genderless vibe. But I'm nervous to branch out and see other people because I don't want to go back to going on demoralizing Tinder dates where people misgender me, tell me they're not getting a vibe for gender-related reasons, etc. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's that if people take themselves out, like the weeds pull themselves out of the garden. You know what I mean? Like it's a smaller pool, but I'm getting a sense of who is right for me and who isn't much quicker.
Well, yeah, because it sounds like you're getting to know, and this has been my recent experience as well, of like, oh, I'm starting to have my own internal emotional mm-hmm. world, and the sort of internal scaffolding of that is being mm-hmm. slowly built, which allows for me to have better and easier mm-hmm. boundaries. You know, like the boundaries do not have to be like, I'm leaving or I'm not talking. Yeah. You know, it's like like you were saying, like, oh, never mind. You know, like, actually, no, you know, or like,
I don't have to force anything. I don't. And I felt for a little while, I felt, well, I should date whoever's interested in me because I don't know who's interested in me as a trans mm-hmm. guy. And so I feel guilt about that sometimes. Like, I'll have, like, you know, made out with someone and then they'll like kind of be more interested, but I'm not interested. And I would be like, well, I should like give it another chance because...
Do you mean just taking whatever you can get because you're a trans guy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like anyone who's interested in me. Yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah. And I mean, I used to have that before I deeply actually understood that I was trans. I was just like, yeah, whoever's into me is like my type. I mean, I said it as a joke, but it was true, you know?
I know.
Which is like just such a lack of self-esteem. You know what I mean? And it's not like a kind thing to say about another person.
No.
You know, it's like...
And if I'm not feeling it, I don't have to spend my time chasing it. I've been thinking about it because that's like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I'm 36 and single. But like, I have been dating. I have been in relationships back to back, except for maybe 3 months mm-hmm. in between, mm-hmm. for 20 years. Back to back to back to back.
No, I understand.
And as a poly person, multiple people at once, back to back to back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's okay if after 20 years, I'm burnt out. I don't want to tell someone where I'm going. I don't want to have someone be like, hey, you didn't put the toilet paper on right. I don't want to hear from anyone.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not pathetic because after 20 years, I think a little bit of time to be like, this is how I put the sheets on. Fuck you, is earned. Anyway, okay, let's get into. Do you want to read the one I sent you from the other person named River?
Hi, Gabe and River. I was wondering what each of your journeys to getting top surgery was like, from how you decided for sure you were going to get it, to setting up various appointments, to telling your friends, and setting up a care plan. I was sharing with a friend recently that I've been thinking about top surgery, but I wanted to give myself a full year to, quote, think about it and be, quote, sure. And they said that sort of plan made sense for someone like me, but their own process could have never been so planned. Mm. I don't know when I started thinking about top surgery and how it became something I really wanted. I used to identify quite strongly as a cis woman and didn't hate my chest. So I don't know what changed, but I now know I want top surgery and I'm quite sure about it, but I almost feel like I can't trust myself and that the concrete timelines can make me feel assured that I have a foolproof plan. I did something similar when I decided to change my name about 2 years ago and haven't regretted it, but obviously this is quite different. Would love to hear y'all's thoughts. I know Gabe has talked about this a bit on JBU as well, but if there's more to share about his top surgery process, I would love to hear it. Thank you. River, international question.
International question is a JBU joke. I don't know if you know
okay.
that.
I guess I would start by saying, just to offer to listeners who do know this, we have talked about it. So this is not to shut it down. We will talk about it because we're talking about it. But we also have, you know, if I encourage you to check out some back-ish episodes because we've talked mm-hmm. about it. And even in the Jess Tom episode, they talked about how they listened to our top surgery episode before they got top surgery.
I know, that was cute.
So that's a good one. I guess what I like about having this show is that we continue to talk about the same things because... our experience with them changes,
right?
You know, my experience of my own top surgery changes over mm-hmm. time as I continue to have mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. if that mm-hmm. makes sense. And so I guess, you know, I really relate to not feeling like trusting yourself. Like, I decided to have top surgery at a time where decisions were still incredibly difficult for me. I would say bordering on debilitating. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a process for me. And part of that process of beginning to trust myself through, I have a spiritual practice. So I have a belief in something bigger than me that was guiding me through that. Mm-hmm. And for me specifically, which I think I talked about before, but I'll talk about it again. Beginning to understand that I could change my mind at any time, mm-hmm. and that I will be taken care of whether I decide to continue the decision of having top surgery mm-hmm. or change my mind to not do it. Mm-hmm. And just believing that and being offered that by people that I care about was very freeing to realize that I didn't have to like fling myself through some experience, that I could actually continuously walk through that decision, even on that day, having it reflected to me that even that morning, I think I went in at 6 a.m, I could change my mind if I wanted to. I mean, there's a moment where I couldn't. But every moment that I could, I was like, do I want to do this? Yes. Do I want to do this? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken about this before, but it always bears repeating. There was a moment after I had surgery, I think it was either that night or the next night, that I experienced tremendous grief mm-hmm. that I do remember being connected to my body and it changing. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I don't regret it. I don't regret it, but I experienced that grief fully. I was like, oh, that's what this is. Okay, here you are. Show me what I need to know. And I think just as human beings, like, I don't want to say we're not supposed to have surgery because we clearly are. But it is an experience of loss. Like I physically, I lost a part of my body.
Which is weird. You know?
Which is strange. It's an experience. Yeah. And I had to grieve that, which was a holistic experience for me. Because I was not just grieving breasts and womanhood and all this. I was grieving the time I spent trying to do that.
Yes, that you feel it's wasted or something.
The grief that I had as a trans man being treated as a girl. It's like all this, it was a lot. It's more than words can actually explain.
Yeah.
And so being present for the decision allowed me to be present for the grief, which allowed me to be present for my experience. And I did not have some crazy plan. I really like the pandemic happened and I saw that as an opening for me to go towards this thing that I'd been thinking about for 10 mm-hmm. years at least. And so I just took what I could get, mm-hmm. you know? And so now, you know, 4 years after that, I don't take what I can mm-hmm. get. I try to be a little more present in who, you know, if I quote had it to do over and over again, I would probably ask some people who they had as surgeons, mm-hmm. you know, I asked one person and that surgeon wasn't available. So I just went with who I got. I have had it reflected to me though, that I have really nice work. So like I got very lucky.
When I went back in, my surgeon, was like looking at the work and went, I just did a really good job. Like was like proud of himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's good, you know?
I know, but it was so funny. Carly, my friend Carly, who's didn't had the same surgeon and said that, like, yeah, felt like...
That's who I was supposed to go to.
Oh, DeLeo.
But he was too busy, so he suggested his colleague, who had never done this before.
Sick.
She had only done, you know, like cis woman breast augmentation. Ah. So I was her first top surgery.
Wow. Well, someone had to be first.
Yeah, that's right.
But Carly was like, yeah, it was like he was kicking the tires on a car. Like it felt very like, damn, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of fun. Like that's the case, you know, it's like, it's not,
yeah.
I don't know. It's not any bigger than that to them, which is like fine to me. I'm like, this does not have to be, I get to have my experience of the importance of mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. you know, can treat each other with dignity and everything.
Yeah. I also was, doing this fun or like in the past like 6 months or something doing this like fun trans guy thing where I was like, well, even if I went back to being a woman, I would still keep my chest how it is because I like how the clothes fit and I like being able like if I wanted to wear like a little bikini or a crop top or something, I like that it lays flat or whatever. And then mm-hmm. I was like, that's just, you're just a trans guy. Like, do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, yeah, but I love how the chest lurks. Like, even if I went back to being a woman, I would probably still keep the mustache and I would probably have my hair. And then it's like, what is that thought process? Like, you're just saying trans guy things.
Maybe you're more gender fluid than you realize.
I know, but it's just so funny to be like, yeah, I'd keep everything about being a man, but it's just if I ever think about going back.
Well, I'm just saying, I never think about that.
It's so stupid because I'm doing never is like, just
what would I do if I was, yeah.
It's just reaffirming what I am right now. It's wild. The brain is wild.
It sounds like it. I guess I just want to say to you, River, that it sounds like you have the plan that you need. That's the other thing. Mm. Is like there is no, there's no foolproof plan because something's gonna go crazy. It just always does. Because every plan you make, something happens, and then so just like allow yourself the flexibility if you can.
Yeah. So like 1 month before you get top surgery, you may actually end up ending an engagement with someone who was
it's possible
helping you with your top surgery. So you would have sort of 3 weeks to sort of figure out a new place to recover. And and also you're not engaged anymore. So just like an example,
but it all worked out, right?
Yeah. Just sort of an example of how things could go.
Totally. But that's the thing is like things not going the way you planned is the universe or whatever you want to put it on, or you being shown that you'll be okay. Because I used to think that meant I wasn't supposed to do the thing, you know, but, and so I get to sit with that, but it doesn't mean, oh, this is not, I'm not supposed to do this thing. It means I can do it and I'll be taken care of no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, do what feels right for me and I'll be taken care of.
So this is a message from Jonathan, formerly known as Nathaniel, he, they. Howdy, y'all. Second time writing because I really appreciate you guys' insights. When I chose my current name, I too went for the male version of my dead name. I specifically remember thinking this would help if someone started saying the old name and could correct themselves in the middle. I wasn't particularly attached to my given name, but the mask version sounded right and just flamboyant enough. However, I'm living in Germany and here it's a very uncommon name. Also, it feels like it doesn't really flow in any of the languages I speak. Simply put, it doesn't spark joy anymore. I have a new name in mind that feels good, but how do I know? This is relevant now because a self-determination law for name and gender change is in action, and I could apply, but I'd have to be certain. Why is so much of transition just a leap of faith? And then, like, melty face emoji. Unrelated, but I'm now a month on the gel, and damn, do you guys just have this much energy as a baseline? No wonder they're all going around causing mischief and mayhem on a regular basis. Thank you, love you, bye. Jonathan, FKA Nathaniel. Let me speak to that, first of all, because I don't think men should have positions of power. Having been a woman and then going to now being someone with a lot of testosterone, I can't be trusted. You are correct about the mayhem and mischief. And the way that things change in terms of thinking. I joke that I've become dumber. But like in terms of able to focus on stuff, I think the female intuition I had about that has departed. So I do agree.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can do more push-ups. I can no longer think good.
How many can you do now, Gabe?
10.
Great job.
Yeah. But I could, but because of testosterone, I could do like 5 almost immediately with no training. Mm-hmm. So that's testosterone, baby.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized that we didn't address any of the sex drive stuff from one of the earlier things. So I feel like we could just kind of fold it into this one that we're kind of talking about the testosterone part of it. So
yes.
Like because I think that's important and we talked about stuff we already talked about. So it's probably good if we talk about the other thing. But something that's interesting that I've noticed on testosterone is that I feel like this is just my experience, deal with heat a lot better.
Really?
I used to hate the heat. Like, I just couldn't deal. I'm also in an apartment that isn't 105 degrees every day. Mm-hmm. So that's also part of it. But even just being outside in the heat, it, like, takes me a while to realize, like, oh, it's really hot.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and I just happened to have a friend who, you know, she a cis woman friend who was taking testosterone for some like menopausal stuff. And she was saying like, I felt like I could conquer the world when I took it. So like, yes, I agree with you. Here's what I think about positions of power. There shouldn't be any.
Well, yes, yes.
That's what I believe in, because I believe in I believe in matriarchy, which does not mean a patriarchy with women in power. Yeah. What it means is interdependence and communal power, power in community, and actual democracy, as opposed to a fake oligarchy patriarchy. But that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I was also just going to say that I've gotten more into playing sports, and when I don't do well, there was a time when I was like, I did poorly at a game and I wasn't even thinking about it, but I was sitting by myself on the bleachers and I was like my head in my lap and I was really worked up about it.
Recently.
This really flamboyant guy on my team came over and he was like comforting me. And then he was like joking and he was like, God, it's always women doing the emotional labor for these angry men. Cause he like is very like flouncy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and it made me laugh. And then I was like, right. I was doing that without thinking, and also in a way unconsciously, because I was thinking that was masculine to be upset. Like I had seen men be upset about sports. And so I was taking it as like, this is masculine for me to be like visibly pissed or like kicking the fence or something. But then I was thinking about when I see other men do it and I find it so off-putting. Like it's such an ick when a man is like, when he like throws the ball and he's pissed. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh my God, I find that so unattractive. It is not inherently masculine to be like that. I have to stop.
I don't know. Let me just pose some stuff.
Okay.
Let me pose some stuff. Now, obviously, I think we all... here's the thing. I think that we've gotten so far down with everything that like anger is masculine is like, it's bad.
But about sports.
Okay, sure. In that container. But like, I also think women should be... If a woman was angry, would you feel the same ick?
If it was around like not doing well in a sports game, or I would, yeah, because I was like, this doesn't make me, being upset about it doesn't mean I care more, doesn't mean I'm more cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I vibe with that, but I guess my experience is this, because I've been playing in this league for this long amount of time. So I've had like just an experience in the same space with some of the same people.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that the expression of frustration and anger isn't inherently bad. I don't think.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not talking about violence towards other people, yelling at other people, whatever.
Beating yourself
up. But I do
think
that when we're in the moment and we get emotional and we're committed and we're in what we're doing, it's really hard to not express that. Mm-hmm. What I think is important and is what we as society and as people, and what I'm trying to do, is the moment after of like, I just had to get that out, you know, like, hey, and then being there for somebody and not diminishing it and saying like, it's all good, man. Mm-hmm. I hear you. I understand, you know, because it's like, it's not labor. It's not labor for me to actually be like, it's all good, bud, you know, or leave somebody alone.
Yeah.
You know, like let each experience be its own thing. I'm not talking about people fighting and that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I just think we can swing the other way and begin to label, you know, anger, frustration, all these things as masculine, which I think does a disservice to, you know, women and femininity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that, and to say that, and I don't think this is what you're saying, but it's just something that came up for me recently, which is to say that intuition is feminine. I don't think it's not, but it doesn't only reside in a feminine person. You know, a person who is feminine or identifies as female, or you know, whatever it is, like, because there's just so many ways of saying that. We all contain all of it, and that's what I, as a trans person, I think bring to the sort of cultural table, spiritual table, is that we actually begin to allow all of it. You know, just because I'm this type of masculinity doesn't mean I don't retain those feminine aspects or intuition, which is of the feminine thing, but it is in concert and in partnership with the masculine, you know, sort of like, I guess, I don't know, material, whatever you want to call it, you know, like that stuff is all in all of us, you know, in poles, in polarity. And so we all sort of are there for each other in different ways. It's the assigning, first of all, assigning a gender to someone and then assigning tasks to them based on that gender, you know, that is like the problem, I feel like. And so I hear you, and I'm not trying to deny you your experience whatsoever. Because I think, yeah, if I'm like, I had this experience over the weekend where I made the biggest mistake. I was coaching first, and I thought we had two outs.
And you told him to run?
So I was like, go. Yeah. And then they got a double play. And I was like, oh my God. And I apologized to everyone. I was like, you guys, I'm so sorry. Because it was a moment that we could have, who knows? It is one of many moments that cost us the game. You know what I mean? I'm not the only reason, but it is a moment that did cost us the game on top of other moments. But having had people tell me those kinds of things when I was really upset and making it about me and making it about my faults and everything allowed for me in that moment to apologize a couple times, take responsibility, and then go, wow, I've made the biggest mistake. I've got nothing to lose. And that day, I didn't have to throw a helmet.
Yeah.
Some of my friends did. And I didn't shame them for it. I didn't tell them, knock it off. I just was like, okay, there's a container for this. And if it goes beyond that container, we'll have a conversation. But I just don't think that constantly tamping that down and trying to have a standard or whatever for each person is hard. And I think it's actually something that causes the toxic masculinity that you're talking about.
Yeah, I get it.
You know?
Okay, I'll throw a helmet. What do I know?
I mean, you're only going to break your own helmet is the thing.
Right.
You know? But like, ideally, we're not doing that. You know what I mean? Ideally, you know, that's a standard that we've set. It's like, let's not throw stuff. And sometimes I've done it. And I'm like, you guys, I'm sorry. And I broke my own damn helmet.
Exactly.
You know? So it's like, but, it, you know, and it's all parts of the path. So what was, I feel like we got a little far afield from what they asked.
Oh, well, do you want the name stuff? And then also, do you want to do a little mention of the sex drive stuff?
Yeah, of course. So I guess I would say with the name stuff, and the thing that I feel like as a trans person and as just the person that I happen to be, is that I don't know what the certainty law is or whatever, but like certainty is an illusion.
Right.
I understand you probably have to have it to fit within what they're asking of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just like, this is all temporary. Everything's temporary.
Right.
So, like, you can change it again.
Right.
You know? Like, I don't know. You can do whatever you want. Like, all this stuff is just so goofy, you know, that I have to prove something to someone so that I can... It's just ridiculous.
I like Jonathan for you because it has the letters... Nope, I spelled it wrong. Anyway, I like Jonathan. I thought Jonathan had a T.
I like it.
I'm silly. See, this is what I mean. Yeah. Testosterone made me dumb.
But then the sex drive, right? Let's talk about the sex drive a little bit.
Yes.
So, I mean, when I started taking testosterone, I was definitely a teenager in puberty.
Yup.
So that was my experience. So I don't know what experience to offer other than that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of like it's been 4 years. 3 years of it has been a full dose of testosterone. The first year was like a gradual low dose, but even that low dose was really like bang. It was like a lot. I mean, you're introducing a large quantity of something into your body that you didn't have the day before,
right?
You know,
right,
so it's
right.
Like there's going to be a lot of changes. I smelled different, I felt different, like all that stuff. And so it mellowed, sort of not flatlined, but it's sort of like it's evened out, I guess. I don't feel quite as like whoa all the time. And it's just been an interesting ride of like who and what I'm, you know, sort of sexually attracted to. And I guess I've just done my best to not make giant waves out of any of that.
Not pathologizing, you know? It or feeling like, oh, this makes me
kind
of this type of person or a bad person.
Now I'm this and now I'm that, you know, it's just kind of like it gave me a lot of retroactive, like, tenderness for my attraction my whole life. You know,
like,
I'm kind of attracted to a lot of genders, you know, I don't pansexual has a lot of complication to me because it kind of is transphobic in a way. So I don't know. I'm just like, I'm queer and also like a straight guy. It's just like, I get to be all these things. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
it's a lot of things at once. And so I'm just trying to enjoy life. I guess some of that is being where I'm at in my transition, and some of it is where I'm at as a 42-year-old, which is not old.
No. I mean, I don't know that I agree about pansexual, but we don't have time. But
you don't have to. I just learned some sort of transphobic, but that doesn't mean that that's the way people are using it.
Right, right, right.
I you know, kind of like non-binary. It's like it started out as this one thing, and now people are using it as a very different thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that. But that's like, why I don't.
Right. Yeah, I have a lot of empathy for teenage boys now. I get it. I'm like, how are you in school during this? That's insane.
I mean, how are any of us in school during any of that? You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
that's true.
Why should anybody be in school while they're actively bleeding?
You right. Know what
I mean? It's just like, this is not, economics is not more important than understanding your own body.
Well, back to burning everything to the ground.
That's right.
Okay, last thing, and then we'll talk about the political stuff we want to talk about. But I just want to read this because this person's email has been here since June. So, okay.
And it also, it's a bit of, just to say, since we're getting to the end of the episode, it is a bit of a call for more experiences. Mm-hmm. So perhaps, you know, we can kind of leave it for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. You know? Okay. Hi, Gabe and River. My name is Emunah. Great name. And I'm a regular listener of the New Guys podcast. I'm also a relatively new guy, year and a half on T now, and resonate with a lot of what you talk about. Thanks for doing this show, allowing for disagreement and nuance, and creating this kind of content for my commutes. A couple episodes ago, Gabe mentioned that he is interested in the intersection of transness and eating disorders. Then you opened the most recent episode, chatting fitness and nutrition. So I think it's safe to say that is relevant and interesting to you two and probably a lot of the trans mass community. I know I've had periods of time where I was searching far and wide for trans-specific eating disorder stories, content, discussions, anecdotes, statistics, or really anything at all. There's not much around.
Okay. Just want to jump in for just a second because it's a very long email.
Yeah.
I also believe we have, again, and not to, I'm not diminishing anything, but we've talked about disordered eating on this podcast. Like, I know that I have. So I do just want to put a pin in that we have absolutely discussed that just because they're bringing up, you know, we talked about nutrition and working out and stuff. So I was talking about it in the context of my own disordered eating that I've absolutely talked about and am happy to talk about again. And like before, perhaps, can we read number one and then you and I can discuss that real quick? Because it's a long email. There's a lot in here. So it's a long thing. I want to get in there.
Totally.
You know, cool.
If it isn't too bold, I'd love to offer to come on the show to discuss this topic. Either way, it would be great to hear an episode on this topic with me or somebody else who you think can cover it responsibly. I think there's an appetite for it. No pun intended.
There was a pun intended.
Yeah, for sure. Obligatory line for Gabe. I resonate so strongly with what you share in your podcasts, and it's been so wonderful watching you step into yourself through your transition. I remember thinking a few years ago that our experiences are so similar, except that I'm non-binary and you weren't out yet. Both queer, Jewish, grew up going to Jewish day school, bisexual, neurodivergent, autistic, mentally ill, have kind of fucked up families, and so on. It brings such a smile to my face when you share your experiences at any intersections of these identities in ways that I can strongly relate to. Thanks for also introducing me to River's content through this podcast, which has brought many laughs my way. That's all for me. Thanks again, Emunah, they, them. Cute.
Cool. Yeah. So I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, we have discussed it, but not at depth. And I think that's a great idea. And I would love to have them on the show.
Same. We'll reach out.
Great. Cool. And so I would say to you listeners, if you feel comfortable sharing your experience with, you know, eating disorder, disordered eating, and how it relates to your gender identity and your gender journey, send them on in to our email, which is thenewguyspod@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
I did it. I can't believe
it's thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, it's thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com.
One day we'll get it right.
I didn't do it, but that's okay. It's all right.
Yes.
You guys
I would
are
love
flexible.
To do. I would love to do an episode about that.
Yeah, I think that would be important, and it'd be nice to get a guest.
And your stories,
who's not Hollywood.
I know.
And your stories.
I know.
So cool. Thanks for volunteering to do that, Imuna. That's appreciate it.
And when we come back, we're gonna get into some relevant stuff, and then we'll close it out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. So, River, you wanted to discuss a few things that have happened recently, Olympics and DNC. So what have your thoughts been?
Two things. And I know we've sort of set out on this show to not like get into the nitty gritty every week. Well, we were doing it weekly. Now we're doing it monthly of each and every like anti-trans law that was passed and each and every transphobic thing, because I just always felt like you could find that on the internet and maybe this could be a respite from those things. So putting it at the end is pretty great because you could just not listen to it if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. I guess I just wanted to share some thoughts and feelings about like what happened with Imani Khalif and like the conversation around that. I'm glad she won. I'm glad like she's suing the pants off of JK Rowling and Elon Musk and stuff, because like, something has to come of all this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, there has to be some retribution. I'm also grateful because I believe that she was not transphobic in her response to all of this, and actually supportive of trans people. But I guess I just wanted to speak to my own experience of what, of like, just how deeply transphobic it was and is. And to hear people be like, this is not a trans issue. And just how awful that felt. It just felt awful. And like the continued focus of like men beating women or whatever. And like, it just is so like being critical of gender all the time in this way is just like, so it's so deteriorating of the fabric of all of this, and like having to defend it, and like just this wash, rinse, repeat cycle of all of it, and the racism and eugenics of all of it.
Oh,
and that
God,
like,
yeah.
I'm just like such a radical when it comes to gender that I'm like, all genders should be competing. You know, like I'm working on a new bit about it, about like how like all of this really comes down to the fact that men, quote unquote, don't want to be beat by quote unquote women.
Of course.
Like, it's not about protecting women or whatever, because it's just like the whole separate but equal gender segregation of sports is really frustrating and is always going to beget this issue.
Yes.
Because there's always going to be some need to define what is and isn't a woman. It's never about what is and isn't a man. It's always about what is and isn't a woman. So, but I guess there was something. Oh, the one thing I wanted to say, and I just wanted to speak to it to anybody that's listening who isn't, because I feel like trans people are very aware of this phrase and all of its baggage and what it actually means. But if you are like a cis person who is an ally, you know, or a loving person to us, you know, I don't even like to use ally anymore. Like, what does that even mean? But like the phrase biological woman is a right-wing talking point and is a eugenics talking point.
Yes.
So like defining anyone as that is transphobic. And I know that you probably don't mean it that way, but I'm telling you that so that you stop using it.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no such thing as a biological woman. That's just like not a real, I know it sounds scientific and that's why they use it, but like, it's just not a real thing. Like the fact that intersex people exist, mm-hmm. the fact that trans people exist, mm-hmm. We are biologically sound. So to try to define anything as a biological woman and act as if you, what you really mean is cisgender woman. Mm-hmm. That's what you mean. Mm-hmm. That the gender she was assigned at birth by someone else is okay with her. Mm-hmm. That feels right to her. Mm-hmm. That's not a biological statement, mm-hmm. you know. It's not any, what I guess what I would say is it's not any more a biological statement than it is for me to say I'm a transgender man.
Oh.
Like, I am biologically a man.
You're biologically a transgender man.
I'm biologically male.
Well, because of T?
Because of what I'm, because of who and what I am.
Because of, you say
not
because
of anything.
HRT or because of your brain being what you are to be trans?
Because of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I say that I am. I'm biologically male.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, yeah.
What's that weird thing of like when they dig up your bones will be female? And it's like,
why are they digging up my bones? Number one. You know what I mean? Like,
also,
nobody's doing
that.
Who the
fuck cares?
Nobody gives a shit except for you guys, you know? So, but again, we do give a shit because we have women's sports and men's sports.
Right.
Like, so that's. That is to me the problem here.
Why isn't boxing, you know, by like weight?
Well, I think because we have a cultural resistance to men hitting women.
Yeah,
which
but
is not
if they
wrong.
If they can hit back and it's in a sport, I'm fine with it.
I know. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. And I would say over time, if you have that happening in this place where we're all agreeing this is what's happening, I guarantee you it's gonna happen less in the world.
Yeah.
I know that sounds way out there, but I personally believe that men, quote men and quote women, quote girls and quote boys, playing sports together, because we do mm-hmm. until a certain age, and then we separate each other out because we think, quote unquote, men have a biological advantage over women. Mm-hmm. And they don't. Mm-hmm. Some do and some don't. There are, you know, cis men that would get their asses kicked by not even professional cis athlete women.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's this thing that's so deeply ingrained in our brains that men are better than women at sports. Mm-hmm. It's just ingrained because we're separated out. Mm-hmm. But the reason we're separated out is because men don't want to get beaten by women.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one of the main reasons that the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League ended, because women were starting to move over into the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And then they literally made a law in the 50s that said no woman will play in the major leagues.
Yep.
Because they were good enough to do it.
Yep. No, I agree.
And men don't want to get their asses kicked by a woman. It's too fragile. But anyway, whatever. I have a whole bit about
no,
it.
No.
I don't need to do it on here.
I deeply agree.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not arguing to, I know you agree with
because
me.
Because when we split up for kickball practice and we split up into two teams to scrimmage, and there's both leagues play the she, they league, as they call it, which is, I already have my problems with it. And then the all gender mm-hmm. league. We split the teams by skill so that the teams mm-hmm. are even. And it's,
I have been saying this for 8 years,
yes,
Gabe.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we changed the law here today, me and you.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. Is it going to take some time for quote unquote women to catch up? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Is it going to take as long as we think?
No.
Abso-fucking-lutely. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Yeah.
You know? No, it's not. You know, it's actually not.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I just thank you for giving me the time to talk about this at the end. This is my personal experience and what's going on for me. And look, I was like firmly, you know, Democrat pilled or whatever you want to say
oh,
for a long,
into
long
the
time.
DNC?
Yes, it's not necessarily the DNC because I'm not trying to get into the granular nature of it. Although I'm horrified by it. And the law and order that the Democratic Party is now picking up, because you're like saying like we uphold the law, and it's like, why? Because there are anti-trans laws and anti-abortion laws. Are you upholding those laws? Like, it's just very dangerous to me. It's fascism light to me. And the thing that I wanted to bring up, while I am personally moved and touched by Tim Walz's kindness to queer people, mm-hmm. That is absolutely and desperately needed as human beings, I want to speak to the larger issue, which is I feel as though LGBTQ, so that's a political sphere, issues are absolutely being weaponized to have us all look away from the genocide that this country is continuously funding. Yeah. Billions of dollars are still going to Israel to murder and maim children and wipe an entire people off the planet.
Yeah.
And take a country. Like, it's just, it's continuously happening. It's being ignored. They keep saying they're working for a ceasefire. That's like absolute bullshit. And I just see the way that, like, you know, quote unquote, protecting trans people is being used to like, oh, if you don't vote for these people, then your rights are going to be taken away. Well, it's like, well, what does it matter? I don't know what it matters when you're coming for me. You are coming for me because you're bombing other people. You know, like, it just, anyway, I don't know how to say it eloquently other than watching the sort of gay rights movement of the 70s become co-opted and turned into what it is, which is like literally just like words, you know, just saying things to us, saying nice things to us to get our votes while actively harming other populations is just like, it's just devastating to me. And I don't know what else to say about it other than that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to vote for Kamala. I think that both sides weaponize social issues to distract from bigger problems. I think, mm-hmm. like, you know, the right uses trans people as a boogeyman. The left uses trans people's fear of what could happen as...
Well, just to say the Democrats are not the left, and this is my personal opinion, the center.
Yeah, 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 yes. I agree. We just did an episode of Bad With Money that was about... is it more lucrative to be right wing? And I did it with Andrew T. And Andrew I was like, the left doesn't have as many, they don't platform as many radical people as the right does. And he was like, well, I think that the way that the right is like very radical, the left does a similar thing of Democrats promoting centrists. So it's, and I was like, that's mm-hmm. actually a very solid point. He was like, our thing that we do that is like Democrats' thing that they do is just as bad, which is the only people that get to have a legitimized voice are moderates. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, that makes sense. I had not thought of that. So that was actually a really good point by Andrew.
I mean, it's like honestly not even moderates, because if we do get into the DNC, they put Trump people up on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I mean, they put Trump people up on stage and are arresting and tear gassing Palestinians, you know, in America.
Yeah.
And refusing to meet with them and putting doctors from Gaza in a side room. You know, it's abhorrent, honestly.
Yeah.
It's abhorrent. And so I think you're right that it is like, if radical is a bad word in this moment, mm-hmm. which it feels like it is, because we're talking about radical right wings. The radicalism is actually not the leftists that are protesting. It's actually what you're saying,
yeah.
what Andrew's saying, of putting these, because they're not even moderates.
Right.
I mean, to put former Trump people on stage at the DNC is not just troubling. It's chilling. The whole thing is chilling. I mean, we didn't even have a primary. I'm not going to say we anymore. I actually, literally, whatever night it was of the DNC, Monday night, I was in a green room doing a show for climate change. Mm. And, about like divesting from banks, because having your money in fossil fuel banks is actually like, I don't know, 100 times worse than like taking a commercial airliner or whatever.
Exactly.
So I started doing that, and B changed my, I am no longer a Democrat.
Oh, you changed your voting or whatever?
I changed my party preference.
Yeah.
I am not a Democrat. I cannot align myself with that. I can't even, I haven't given them money in years.
Yeah.
But I can't even, I don't even want to be a number. I don't even want to be one of their numbers.
Yeah.
Like, that's how abhorrent I feel like this behavior is. It's incredibly bad. Because, like, literally a genocide is happening and we're paying for it. And they are doing it.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is doing it. Joe Biden is doing it. So, like, personally, I cannot vote for that. And I'm lucky to be in not a swing state. You know?
Yeah.
In terms of like, I don't want Donald Trump to be president either. Like, that's not what I mean when I say those things. I think there's more nuance than that. But like, I just, and I've been voting Democrat my entire life, mm-hmm. 42 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I was wrong most of that time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I disagree on the methods. So I am going to vote for
you. Disagree on their methods or what do you mean?
Like, I wouldn't not vote. Like, I am going to vote for her.
Oh, do you think I'm not voting?
I don't know. Who are you voting for? RFK? He dropped out.
Are you assuming that I'm not voting? Who, what?
I said RFK. He dropped out.
No, I'm
joking. I can't fucking guy. Let's what a fucking going to both sides and
I
being
mean,
like,
what a nightmare. I'm incredibly disillusioned with the two-party system, and I think it's the rot of our country.
Yeah.
Number one, that we only have two choices. So what I'm actually doing is I'm voting for Jill Stein and the Green Party, because if they get enough votes this year, they might actually get federal funding. Who knows? Both of these parties are fascists, so they'll probably turn that off if they actually get it. But I actually have just gotten to a point where I actually have to vote my conscience.
Yeah.
And I just cannot vote for a party, either party, that is continuing to fund a genocide actively that I'm watching every single day.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I have so, if people are interested, they should read Dark Money by Jane Mayer. That was like really eye opening for me. It's a very interesting
Is it
book.
About like Citizens United? Or what
yeah,
is it?
It's about it's I can't get into the whole thing, but there was a chapter of it that I think the first chapter that I've spoken about before that really opened my eyes, which was and again, I am going to vote for Kamala. It was talking about how Obama took the stage and everyone was like so excited for Obama to be elected and people felt like there was change and blah, blah, blah. And then the end of the chapter is like he stepped out onto a carpet paid by the Koch brothers, paid for by the Koch brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a very, very interesting book if you're interested in the sort of nuances and stuff. So I would say read that and think about it. It's a great book.
Me or everybody else?
Everybody. No, I'm saying everybody okay, listening. Right. That's a book I would recommend for further discussion on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let us know what you think. Please write in. I'm sure you guys will. And we'll hopefully have for September an episode about disordered eating. That would be really interesting to me. And so go see River in Vermont and in Charleston.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. I would love to. I'm sure there are people that feel each way, you know? So
lots of ways.
I know. So let's see what you guys have to say. Fill the inbox, baby. Okay. I love you guys. Bye.
Love y'all. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can email us at thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at thenewguyspod. This podcast is edited and produced by Logan Castrodali, music by Atlas Bishop, and art by Maya Scarpa. Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.